Penguin Random House Audio presents Island Witch by Amanda Jayathissa. Read for you by Isuri Vijayasundara. I've always said that I'm phenomenally lucky to be surrounded and supported by a group of strong women. From my grandmothers to my mother, mother-in-law, family, best friends, and the amazing women I've met in publishing. They've raised me up, encouraged me to chase my dreams, and taught me to never give up on what I believe in. This book is dedicated to them, and to all women who stand by one another. In the long 50-year night, these are the words that crawl out of the wall. Suffer. Monster. Burn in hell. When morning comes, I will finally tell. Amen. Carol Ann Duffy, The Devil's Wife. Author's note. My beautiful island has been called many names throughout history. It was known as Taprobane by the Greeks, Serendib by the Arabs, Ceylon by the British, which is when this story takes place, amongst many others. We've been colonized by the Portuguese, the Dutch, and the British respectively, followed by a horrific 30-year-long civil war. We are no strangers to atrocities. Those committed against us, and also those we have committed against one another. This story touches on some of those atrocities. The impact of colonialism, the clash of religious beliefs, and violence against women are themes that are prevalent in my novel. The decision to include them was not one I took lightly, but I also felt it would be a disservice to erase these realities, especially as now, about 150 years later, much of these issues continue to haunt us. But while this novel takes place in a historical setting, this is by no means a history lesson. It's simply a story, as many dark tales go, of fear and desperation, and of the limitless boundaries of female rage. Prologue. Blood coursed through him like a rich nectar I wanted to lap up. He moved through the jungle by himself, unbothered, perfectly confident in the way that only a man could be. Like he never had to worry about danger. Like he never had reason to be fearful for his life. Like the thought never even crossed his mind. It was the gift of his birth. Fear is a woman's burden. We are entrenched in it from the time we are born, told to protect ourselves, especially our bodies. Heaven knows we've been told to value them more than our minds. We've been told to keep safe. Caution becomes our second nature from the time we are young girls, only blossoming deeper as we grow older. Our fathers, our neighbors, our villages rally around to protect us, lest we, delicate little things, are unable to fend for ourselves. Be careful of strangers, they want. Be careful of the jungle. Be careful even of your own thoughts. They say this even though the fathers, the neighbors, the villagers are often the very ones we need protecting from. But this man, walking through the lush jungle that was perfumed with wet earth and beads of dew and bodies that lay rotting in the ground, had never thought about protection. He was at home, he thought, making the same mistake as so many before him. Amongst the trees that towered over him, a foot on the springy moss that carpeted his walk, oblivious to the animals who cried out their warnings, he thought he was king. Little did he know that the jungle never bowed down to any man. Little did he know that I, the jungle's most loyal servant, lay in wait for him. I licked my lips. It wouldn't be long until his blood ran like sweet wine down my mangled throat. As noiseless as a shadow, I slunk after him. My breath whispered across the back of his neck. I reached out a finger and traced the air outlining the ridge of his ear. I almost licked the vein that throbbed under his jaw. He must have felt me, then, because he glanced over his shoulder, the small hairs on his arms rising. Of course, he didn't pay heed to his instincts. A lifetime of never being weary made him believe he was untouchable. He continued on, not realizing that I was less than a step behind him. I breathed in his scent. He was no different from the rest of them. Unable to help myself, I gave the lightest chuckle, so soft he wasn't even sure he heard it. But he paused, all the same. "Who's there?" he asked. His voice was even. There was not the slightest hint of tremble in it. Yet. But that was enough jest for now. It was time to begin. Leaving him, I took a shortcut through the jungle and positioned myself at a clearing. While I was all rotten flesh, cruel gashes, and gaping wounds covering my body, he would see only beauty. A woman in white, smiling shyly at him under the moonlight, her black hair floating like silk about her shoulders. "Will you help me, sir?" I asked, my voice gentle and clear and not relaying even a hint of the fury that churned within me. I spoke of how fearlessness was the gift of his birth. As it turned out, it was also his curse. "Of course, madam," he replied without even a moment's hesitation. I smiled, a real smile that would have shown my rotten teeth and putrid blackened gums, except his ignorance didn't allow him to see that. I led him deeper into the jungle, so deep that I was certain no one could hear the screams that would soon come. He followed me readily, a puppy who had just found a new bone. He grinned at me when I turned to face him, his eyes sparkling with expectation. And in a flash of anger that shot through me, I revealed my true self. Gone was the lustrous hair, replaced with chunks that fell away from my scalp, a tangled, stinking mess. Gone were the soft lips that he undoubtedly imagined grazing his own, my own ripped to shreds that were bloodied and foul. Gone were the soft hands, now turned to claws of a beast ready to hack at his pitiful face. I saw the grin melt off his face, replaced first by hesitation. Were his eyes playing tricks on him in the darkness? And then, finally, by fear. A shiver of pleasure hummed through me as his pupils grew and his mouth opened in a silent gasp. Blood was delicious, of course, but the look of dread in a man who was unspoiled by the horrors of the world was what led me to the jungle in the first place. It was what kept me here. Some men screamed when they first saw the real me. Others cowered, frozen in place, but not him. He turned around and fled. So he wanted to play. Wonderful. He wove through the trees, jumping over protruding roots and ducking past low-hanging branches, nimble and quick. But he could never be a match for me. I gave him a head start before I pounced forward on all fours, a creature birthed from the darkest depths of vengeance. I caught up to him in a matter of moments, using my nails to slash the backs of his ankles so he couldn't run any further. I crawled over him, trapping him under me, extending the claw on my index finger. I traced a line down his collarbone, enjoying the way his heart was pounding, the way his breath came out in desperate gasps, the way he trembled. He whimpered in horror as I widened my jaw all the way down to my chest and lunged at him, taking a large bite out of his chest. I clawed at the soft flesh of his belly, ripping him open, reveling in the splatter of blood that sprayed on me as one relishes the rain on a warm day. And as he lay blubbering on the jungle floor, his innards spilling out of him, I leaned over, extended my rancid tongue, and licked the decadent blood off his cheek. "You're mine now," I rasped into his ear, relishing the desperation that flooded through him, savoring that it was me who finally made him feel afraid, luxuriating in the power I now had. He would suffer as I once did. Suffer for everything he had done, suffer for the wrongs that were committed before him and those that would no doubt come after him. That was all I wanted. For them to all suffer as I had. Chapter 1.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?